I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You've chosen a podcast by Low Moon Vagabonds. Vagabonds is the newest section of the campaign, and we are looking forward to entertaining you going forward.
That's why you're in it. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah.
No, that's why.
That's why you're laying there bleeding to death. In about 6 minutes, you would actually be dead. It's very deadly. Most people do not die the moment that they fall. They die like shortly after bleeding to death from internal bleeding and that kind of thing.
You probably hurt your leg.
Then they would probably die virtually instantly. But not necessarily. You can actually lay there with a broken neck and can't move, and then as soon as somebody moves you, it severs your spinal cord. Then you die.
Oh, sounds pretty terrible
way to go, actually. Yeah. Okay, so this is our devotional. It's from Matthew 14:15. It says, "When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This place is desolate, and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' This is simply practical. They can collectively do for themselves what it seems cannot be done for them. Of course, there is a question as to whether there is enough bread anywhere to buy. They are trying to be compassionate, but this is the version of compassion that often surfaces when men set out to be compassionate. We should bring to an end what's going on here so that people can go deal with this," they said. Jesus says, "No, we should fix it. Compassion is seeing suffering and deciding to do something about it. Getting out of the way so someone else can do something really doesn't count for much, and it's not what we are called to. Instead, let us let our light shine so that they will glorify our Father in heaven on the day of Jesus' coming." That's our devotion. Tomorrow's Sherry's birthday. Keep remembering.
How can you forget?
I bought her gift like a week and a half ago. I'm sitting at home. Yeah. She's going to be the big 1-1. 11 years old.
She's a tween.
She was a pre-tween, and her brother picked on her and said that's not a thing, and now she's a tween.
A pre-tween.
That's what I said. Father, we thank you that you have called us out of the darkness, out of our previous lifestyle, really to life, and we are grateful. And then when we are given the opportunity to be compassionate toward others, to care about what's going on in somebody's life, to make a difference, Lord, I think the least we could do would be pray. I think the least we could do would be care. And when we do, you show up in incredible ways to help us do something different. I pray for those that Ariana and I spoke with today during visitation. There was a number of good visits, and maybe they'll come to church tomorrow. Boy, that's exciting when we see people actually do what they promised to do and answer yes when asked. Lord, we know that there's a lot of folks in our body that's hurting in a lot of ways. Nobody's dying, thank God, but there's a lot of tests and special care that has to be going on. And we just pray, Lord, your healing hand upon each and every one of us, that miracles would become commonplace, and not that it would be commonplace like we would forget them or not care about them or not care about you for sending them. But Lord, we just need help at every turn. And we pray that you would help us. Pray for that vote on Monday. It means whether or not the $400,000 for the life station will be added back into the budget for the state, which means whether or not those who are working there, including myself, will get a salary. Before long, that question arises if it doesn't pass, and whether we can deliver food to people all over the city when they have need and get all the supplies that we need to give food to the hungry. And I think about the man I took food to yesterday. His first name was Christian, and he hadn't eaten in 2 days, and that ought not be. Not while people on his same street or all over the city are living like kings And there he is sitting in his house, not able to eat for 2 days. And thank you that he was able to eat last night and today, I'm sure, and for a while because of what he got. We pray that we will have the supplies and the manpower and the creativity to help lots and lots of people and especially deliver the gospel. Teach us your kind of compassion, the kind of compassion that doesn't just remove us out of the way so somebody else can do the work, but the kind of compassion that jumps in wholeheartedly to do the work. Bless us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. My glasses are up here. Okay, so we are going to go ahead and begin. RJ will be rolling. I did text him to see if he was, you know, it's kind of a thing when you're coming in from out of town that you think, well, I'll be there by such and such a time, and it just doesn't happen. Because you get like...
will you be playing
big
him?
Distances. Yeah, so I'll run him for the moment until he gets here. Which I don't have his name tag. What's
his name? I forgot his name. You. Umbar,
yes. So I remember him. He also had a little bit of an insight with about the gnomes as well.
Yeah.
Backstory.
Yeah.
So I don't have a slip for him, but I will be Umbar as well temporarily. All right. So once last we broke, the situation was dire. Hibiscus and Anne had taken a tumble after the incredible shots of Lotus and the construction of the wall by Umbar. The a really loud ringtone. Is that a notification? How can you ever not answer me when I text you with that kind of a notification? It's my notification like this. Somebody important.
No.
Okay.
Sometimes it's I usually turn my phone off when I'm dressed. Or leave it in the bedroom. It's never quiet in our house. Never.
Okay. Never. That would be why your ringtone, this is your notification is so loud because, right? That's what you're saying? Because it's never quiet, so that's why you
it has to go over the top of three girls yelling all
the time. And when Tyson's there, you know, my neighbor's listening. We're nuts. It's a crazy house.
That explains some things.
Yeah, and then fall far from the tree with my mother.
What?
I forgot how many. We have 8.
Okay. Also, you're up on, don't forget, you're up on the side of the mountain on a broken staircase that does not look sturdy anymore. And Hibiscus and Anne are 60 feet below you.
It's windy.
And you need to get down to them quickly because they will bleed to death.
Okay, I will go down.
All right. So, we have the three of you and Umbar, and Umbar had said that he could make additional rope, but do we have rope already? How much rope do we have between us? Yeah. So you should have rope if you have it. Some people carry rope, some people don't. Also, you need to kind of decide what you left on the boat. Don't forget, we're supposed to think about that.
I have 50.
Okay, so that's a good part of it. In fact, it's probably enough because it's...
I also have a cord.
Yeah, so the slope at the bottom, right where they're at, is pretty shallow. So basically, if you sling the 50-foot rope over, that would get you to within like 5 or 10 feet of them, and then you can just go down the shallow slope to where they are. So that's probably enough. Certainly, if you tie it off...
She is...
It can be in different spots because...
Leather lace is 60-inch...
60-inch spool of leather lace. That's what she had.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Yeah, that's basically what she has.
So that won't help in this circumstance. Okay. So you're the rope bearer, apparently. Remember that for the future. Okay. So does anyone tie ropes? Anybody good at tying knots? Rope use?
Where would that be at?
On your skills on your character sheet. On the front of your character sheet. Usually on the bottom. One of them in that middle. Oh, I think you have ropes or something like it.
I don't know where that would be.
It'd be in that list of skills. Unconscious. Not dead yet. Unconscious.
I just have 5 walls.
Okay. Well, I mean, that would help you. So technically, you could climb down without the rope, but with the rope, basically, you can climb down without even the possibility of an accident because you're very adept at climbing. So is that list just to the left of your pencil right there, what is it? Move it to the left a little bit. That one right there. Yeah. What is that? What's on that list?
Armor,
chainmail. Yeah, that means you can wear chainmail. Next. Though your flesh, that means you can make bows and arrows.
I think it's horsemanship.
So that means you're good at, you can ride and train horses.
Navigation, legend lore, lifetime.
So legend lore means you can know like the legends and backgrounds of things if they're unique or special, like they have writing on them or things like that. What's the next thing after legend lore?
Intro.
Is my handwriting that bad?
I
can't
spell it.
I-N-T-T-O-S.
Is it E?
Pass it over here.
It's a little small here.
If I can read it easily. Oh, yeah, that is tough. Okay. All right, so that's what Lifetime Learner is. The thing above is Lifetime Learner. That's the one that increased your intelligence as you train.
Okay.
So it says intelligence plus 3 at 10% chance per level. Okay. And it's at 2 hours a day study. So you have to study 2 hours a day, and then you have a 10% chance per level of your intelligence going up. That's what that is. Okay, let's see what else you got over here. These are all your thief skills. That's your mage skill. That's your languages. So, no, you don't have rope use. You have sailing, which sailors can kind of tie ropes and stuff like that. And you have boat building.
She has climbing walls as well.
Yeah, all thieves have it as a base ability, so.
She has hammer, sewing, healing, running, anatomy, and mimicry.
Yeah, so mimicry means you can make sounds that sound like something else. Like you can do impressions, you can sound like a bird, you can. Like a football sound, or like that. So all three of you can climb. He does not, to my knowledge. So all three of you can climb anyway. So if somebody ties off the rope pretty well, which you can do that with sailing, you'll just tie it really good. You mean it's like try, like if you have to tie it multiple times to be sure, that's fine. And then in theory, all three of you could go down because you all have the skill to climb down anyway, and there shouldn't be any mistakes. Umbar does not have that skill.
Should Tim stay up there?
So you're going to have to raise, if you can't get them conscious, you're going to have to raise them up. So someone's going to have to be up anyway. Yeah, you're probably the only person strong enough really to do that.
Will we be able to lift them now?
So if the two of you go down, stop them from bleeding to death, tie them on the end of the rope, then Nick and Umbar haul them up. And then you'll have to do that twice.
You said that I had some kind of special thing. I was going to write it down.
What was the special thing?
I don't know. I can read things.
Oh, legend lore. Legend lore allows you to know the history of objects if they're unique. Like, say you found a sword and it's got writing on the side of it. You might be able to look at it and figure out the history of the sword.
Okay.
It's a small chance, but because there's a big, like, there's a lot of legends. So you'll know, like, you might look at something and go, oh, I remember an old story about this. This could be that sword, or this could be that hat, or this could be that book, that kind of thing.
Take you back to that story.
Yeah, so then, which would give you an idea of what it can do, basically.
So we have to pull a star around the rock.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening, though. Is that Excalibur?
I'll tell you a funny story about that. But yeah, Excalibur is in.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story about it.
Sword and stone. Sword and stone.
King Arthur's. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so the two of you are going down, so both of you need to roll percentile dice. The 2d10s, you read them in order. So, one of them is closest to me. Yep, that one. The one that Holly just had her hand on, that one. And the other one that looks just like it.
This?
Yep, exactly. And you roll those together and you read them in order, 10s, 1s.
30, I think this is a 6.
36, okay. Do the same thing, Haley.
Yep.
It's these two.
Yes.
They look like diamonds, basically.
You should have to.
You have to.
Oh! Mothers is always the best. 60 what? I don't know. Oh,
60
and
7. Okay, so 67. All right. So then both of you climb down without incident. All right. Takes 1 minute to get down there. So they've bled some by the down. There's quite a bit of blood on the rocks and around them, and they can see it seeping in their clothing and that kind of thing. It takes 1 minute to stop them from bleeding. Even if you don't have to have healing skill or anything like that, anybody can do that.
Jesus.
So you can do healing on one of them, and you can stop the other one from bleeding so that they won't get worse, basically. And then as soon as she's done, she can do healing on the other one. Okay, so roll a d20 for your healing roll. Yep. Low number, better.
What? 20.
Okay, so you were trying to help Anne, the one who has the healing spells in memory, of course, and you're unable to make her any better. Okay. And so you've stopped her bleeding, but you can't actually add back any hit points. Okay, so you don't have to roll. So Hibiscus's bleeding has stopped. You did take one additional point. Both of you took one additional point from while you were waiting for them to get down there. So Hannah and Natalie both reduce your hit points by one. I think you're actually supposed to be at negative one. Not one off of your total, but at negative one. That's what it was. Now you're at negative two. Yeah, she was at negative one. Now you're at negative two. So you're both at negative two. Okay. Which means you're not deeply unconscious, but you're unconscious.
Does she try?
Okay, yep. So now you can try on Natalie if you want. Meanwhile, you can be hooking Anne to the rope.
I got 11.
That's better. Okay, so roll a d3. So that's a d6 divided by 2. Yep, that one. Nope, the other one.
Regular dice.
That one, yep. The 10,000 dice.
It's 3.
Okay, so you rolled a 3. So you divide that by 2, and you round up, so you get 2. So now, Natalie, your character, I'm sorry, Anne, yeah, Natalie's character, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You get 2 hit points back, so you're at 0. So when you're at 0, that means you're in and out of consciousness. Okay? So that means anytime you want to do anything, like you can talk a little bit, you're awake, but anytime you want to do anything strenuous, you have to roll a dice, and there's a 50% chance you'd pass out. Okay? So if you were trying to climb up, you probably wouldn't make it, because you're woozy.
Call another 60
feet. Yeah, no, that would probably be the end of her if she fell again. Okay? All right, and meanwhile, you have tied Anne to the rope, and you're hauling her up with Umbar's help. Okay? So roll percentile dice. Same thing as we rolled. Yep, you got them sitting aside right here. Yep. And then you want to read them in order.
17.
Very nice. Okay, so what you're rolling against is when you're exerting your strength, you roll on your bend bars, lift gates, which is on your character sheet. That's your chance to bend an iron bar that's a full inch thick. So the chance goes up, like it was only a half inch thick, quarter inch thick, like that. And this is not that strenuous, so your chance was like times 3 of normal, and you made it by a mile. So you haul her up. You pull her up onto the stairs. Now, the stairs are not in good shape, but where you're standing, where Umbar's standing, is solid. So you look up. It's about 30 feet more up to the back porch of the house, and Umbar says he'll take her up to the porch while you bring up Anne.
Okay, so
we're getting Anne. Does he go for Anne?
Right, actually, no, that's backwards. That was Anne.
Yep.
Now this is Hibiscus. Yeah. So you tie in the rope on Hibiscus.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you're hauling her up.
34.
No problem. Okay, you're hot with the dice tonight.
Good.
Keep that for as long as you can. It's got to be dice. Hey. Anyway, so you now haul the second one up. And he is, meanwhile, and you realize, like, he's not carrying her with ease. Like, he fireman carries her over his shoulder, basically, like, across his back, and he looks like he's straining. So it's not an easy thing for him to do, but he does carry her up. Okay? Also, do either of you carry, like, a staff or something in your hand? So I think Anne has a shield, right?
On special abilities.
It would be, so I think that, because you're the You're follow Skirnir, the shield man, so you have your shield. Yeah, so, yep, so you have a shield, so somebody's going to need to make sure to get her shield, or she's going to lose it.
Okay.
And it's a pretty big deal to her. You could tell it really made a big difference.
Maybe you want to take a stab at it? Sure. Put that down. I think she has to roll, right?
She didn't really have to roll. So you're just going to have to look around for it, find it, and there you have to drop the rope back down. The two of you are going to have to climb up, so you're not going to climb up carrying a shield. You're going to have to pull the rope up. You don't have to roll for that. Shields don't weigh that much. All right. And then the two of you are going to climb back up. Mostly, he can pull the rope up as you come up to kind of as a safety line or whatever, but both of you can roll percentile dice. Same things you just rolled. Tens and ones, yep. So that is the only way to generate a number between 1 and 100. So.
I got an 11.
Nice, okay.
He's too long. Wait.
The one of the
that,
tens.
This and this. One looks like a top. Over.
They both look the same.
Over right there.
Yep.
Yeah. I got a 90 and a 9.
No, that is as bad as you can get. Congratulations. Okay, so you crawl up to the top, you lower the rope back down, she starts to climb up, you get about a third of the way up, and your foot slips, and you're basically, the rope is tied around your waist, and you're backwards dangling on the rope. If he lets go of the rope or it slips, you would fall the 20-some feet to the ground. Okay. Rope on the ice.
60.
Okay, that's still fine, because remember, it's she's not that heavy, and you're not trying to bend a inch iron bar. Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so he braces against it. It kind of jerks you a little bit, and you just take 1 point of damage, so you can mark a 1 point wound down. And you're dangling in space for a moment, and then you smack back into the wall, and you clutch around and get a hold of it, and you still got to climb over halfway up to cut that out, is what you're thinking. I don't want to do that again. Okay. So roll again. Try not to roll 99. Only one thing worse than 99.
71.
No, that's not as bad, though. You have a pretty good climb roll. Okay, so you with the rope and the surface is not real smooth, and you're a pretty good climber. You managed to get back up. All right. So meanwhile, Umbar came back down, and Anne's body was laying there, and he asked you to help him carry her up to the porch.
Okay.
He said, I carried Hibiscus, but I'm getting tired.
Okay.
And so, either you can carry her, you're pretty strong, I think, right?
Where would that be?
1884.
Yeah, you're very strong. You can carry her like nothing, so you just offer to carry her, yeah. Oh, okay, that'd be better even. Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to
419-419-0095.
What are you, like, 13? Oh, I got 8. Yeah, so 8 is below average, 9 is the lowest average, so... Your character probably is about as strong as you are. No offense. Unless you've been pumping iron. Have you been pumping iron?
What? Working out?
Have you been lifting weights?
She hasn't been pumping iron. She's been taking iron.
It's not the same thing. All right. So you got her shield. You got everything up. The two of them are still... So Hibiscus is on the verge of consciousness, but she can't really walk on her own. In fact, she was passed out while you were carrying her up. And then everybody's up on the porch. So the porch is about 20 feet long, wide, and the stairs go right up onto it. And then it has a covering over the top. It has wooden columns that support the roof. And then it's only like 6 feet deep. And then immediately you see from what appears to be like a rickety old mansion. It's wood-sided, and you can see there's like holes in the siding, and it's chipped up, and it looks like it's made of flotsam or jepsum, which is like wood that washed up on the shore, basically. But there, you know, it's planks, it's carved down, it would provide shelter from rain, for example, or to block the wind. It just doesn't look like real sturdy.
Okay.
So with Hibiscus on the verge of unconsciousness and Anne actually unconscious, what do you do?
I ask her, can she heal her again? Try it again?
She cannot.
Oh.
It's one time per set of wounds.
Can you heal, like, root wounds?
You can.
Can I do that to her?
You can. So she's not deeply unconscious. You think it would probably work. A cure light wounds isn't real strong. And when somebody's unconscious, it only does half the normal. So as long as you don't roll really low, then it will probably work.
So if you roll 99.
Does hibiscus have cure light wounds by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know it will work on hibiscus and it will make her mobile. So you can't fail on her, basically. And then she could try on Anne and see if she could get Anne awake.
Can I just do that? So what roll?
Roll D8. It's the one that was lost, but yes. Not, you didn't lose yours, apparently.
I got it, too.
Okay, it's a good thing you were doing it on her and not on Anne, because Anne would still be unconscious. Okay, so now you're at 2. Which means your hibiscus is fully functional. You can do whatever you need to do. You feel a little beat up. There's a real sore spot in your back, and you've got a scratch, pretty rough scratch from the back of your ear down on your neck, and you like didn't know it was there, but you started to scratch at your neck and really, that really hurts. And so you have to kind of tend it, take care of it.
So can they both use them on her?
She just used hers on me, and I'm supposed to use
hers too.
Yep, so you could do that. One of you needs to try, and then if it doesn't work, the other one can do it.
Okay, you
want to
give it a go?
Who wants to do it? Who wants to cast the Cure Light Wounds on Anne? She's only at -2.
Don't you have healing, too? I have Cure Light Wounds.
No, I don't think she has healing. Do you have a healing non-weapon, like a healing skill down in the bottom box, or anatomy?
Hey,
somebody has anatomy.
I have anatomy.
I do, too.
Yeah. Okay, so anatomy, you can't do it because you already tried healing, but anatomy will heal her 1 point if you made your check.
So you were.
So you could make her 1 point better before she cast the cure light on her. Okay, so hold on a sec. She's going to do it. I didn't see anatomy on there. Somebody had anatomy, though. So Haley has it, but she already tried healing. And hibiscus does not have anatomy or healing. What skill? Okay. Yeah, so Nick doesn't have anatomy either.
It's over here.
Okay. Yeah, it should be down there if you got it. That's the only place it would be.
I have land-based
hunting. Okay, so no anatomy. That doesn't help us. Let's roll a D8 and see if we can get her awake. She does, but she already tried healing and failed. So once basically she looked at her wounds and she goes, well, I can bandage this up, but I can't really improve it. Because you rolled a natural 20. Okay, so roll a D8. You need, to wake her up, you're going to need ideally at least a 5.
I got a 1.
Okay, so you gain 1 point. So now you're at -1.
Wait, can I try it now?
Yep, now you can try it.
These
are good. I got 1.
So you gain 1 more point. So now you're at 0, which means you're on the verge of unconsciousness.
But you're back. Please. Welcome back.
Yeah, your wounds are... So when you cast your light, it kind of like starts to cover your wounds. They start to actually heal and stuff. But super sore until you actually get to full hit points. So, all right. So you are on the verge of unconscious. Now, do you have a cure light? In your spells, your spell choices.
Sit right what on the chair instead of with your lights on it, you'd be able to see. She has healing.
Does she have? Yeah. Do you have healing? Do you have healing non-weapon? Healing skill? Oh, no, it doesn't matter. She already cast a cure light on you. All that matters is if you have... What spells did you choose for the day?
I have another light wound, but I don't think...
The big gray paper has your spells. What ones did you pick for the day?
Today?
Yeah. Not this session, but right. Today is the same day from a month ago.
Do you remember the ones that you had?
Do you have a list somewhere of spells that you chose? You should have had 3.
Is it on that gray paper?
Got a bunch of doodles.
What is that list right there on the upper left? What does it say?
Little?
No. I didn't have any other papers.
Where is this? On this one?
So her list is on the gray paper, but she would have wrote down somewhere what spell she chose or marked what spell she chose.
Down, I
there might be one that got lost. It's possible.
Command.
Okay.
That's so
okay, so she did not have healing. All right, which means you're going to be stuck at 0 for a while until someone can heal you.
I do have another one, but I don't think I can use it. This is your light.
You used 2. Did you have 3?
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Then you're good.
The D8?
Yep.
I got a 9 or a 6.
Gotta be a 6 because it only goes to 8.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Is that bad?
No, that's excellent. Okay, so you are now at 6 hit points. What is your maximum?
6.
So you're full.
You're healed.
You don't even feel sore. And you're out of spells. Congratulations. But it is, that is just about the best first level spell there is. But
hopefully no one else gets hurt.
It goes either way. Sometimes you wish you had an offensive spell, or especially like the tech magic or something that can be very useful. Okay. Yeah, it might be not a bad idea to try not to get in another fight right away, since one of you is still pretty severely wounded and almost all your healing is used up. So kind of keep that in mind. And that being said, you're standing on the porch now of a mysterious kind of worn wooden mansion. The door creaks open slightly. What do you do?
Mm-hmm. I'll go inside.
Oh, hang on. Welcome to your all tech man fans.
Okay. Nick edges the door open slightly. Okay. So Iris steps up behind you to follow you into the creepy mansion. So it's not huge, right? You expect it to be, you know, four or five rooms on the first floor, two or three on the second floor. It's not huge. Okay. This door, which is probably the back porch, you think, opens onto a mud room. So it's just a 5x5 room, wooden floor. There's an old tattered rug on the floor. It looks like it was red in its day, but it's really faded. There are leaves, old rotten leaves in the edges of the room and bits of twigs and stuff that have obviously blown in. It looks like the door was not firmly latched and maybe there's a gap underneath of it anyway. There is a small table in the corner, and on that table is a lantern, which of course is not lit. There is a single door that leaves this room that goes further deeper into the house, and it's closed. As soon as you step into that room, you feel a little sheltered, like you've been battered by the wind the whole time you're on the stairway and like that, but inside here it's calm.
So I guess we'll grab a lantern and put it.
Okay. Does anyone have flint or flint and steel?
I think you have candles.
Wait, where do you see that?
Is it in the main map?
It would be on that page somewhere. So you probably, like, your character wouldn't be spending time searching. You would know in your head whether you would put it in there or not, but we're just not used to it, so we would have to take that a little bit of time. It's okay.
No,
okay, Umbar says that he has a piece of flint and...
I have a piece of flint, too.
Oh, there you go. That's all you need. So steel, I mean, you can do that with a dagger or a knife.
A dagger?
Yeah, you pull out a dagger. Okay. So Iris pulls out a dagger, pulls out a piece of flint, and you look at... Nick has already looked at the lantern. It looks like it's full or near full of oil. So you dial up the wick a little bit, and you just go... And after five or six sparks, it flares up. Little bit of black smoke. You dial it back down. The light sort of permeates the room. And everyone can roll for surprise. So you roll a d6. I don't think anybody has anything to turn. Roll a d6, and you don't want a 1 or a 2.
Oh, I got a 1. I got a 4.
Surprised. Not surprised.
I got a 4.
Not surprised, not surprised. Not surprised. So you're the only one surprised. Okay. All right. So what happens is you're kind of like, Nick's in the room, Iris has come in the room, and you guys are gathered around the doorway, and maybe one more person is in the door. And, to the right in the room, and you hadn't noticed it previously, but when the lantern comes up, you see that there is the front half, forward, the front legs and head of a boar mounted on the wall. And it's right there. And as the light comes up, it's the first time you saw it, and it gives you the impression that it's leaping towards you. And so Hibiscus, startled by this, jumps backwards and slams the door into Anne. No one's hurt, but it's just a kind of a surprising moment. Like, what happened?
Poor Anne. Always Anne. Always Anne.
Okay.
No,
the boar is not actually attacking. It just looks like it's leaping out of the wall.
Well,
its
head was mounted on there.
Yeah, it was head and its whole front body, like from below the arms, like 6 inches. So its feet are going like this, and its head is there.
Someone was attacking
us. Yeah. Okay. This should be making sound. Why is it not making sound? Oh, here comes the sound. I hear the sound. Tense music.
Are you startled?
She was. Now she's calm.
I feel like if I see that, like actually see that,
it was
yes. If it was dark and a light came on, you see a battle.
Exactly.
I don't know, I'm scared.
Okay. It seems like it might have been done that way on purpose.
Yeah.
like to annoy visitors that you don't know or whatever. Okay, anyway, so you have a single door going directly deeper into the old decrepit mansion.
So I guess I'll lead the way through the door.
So you check the door. Surprisingly, it's not locked. I mean, they probably don't get a lot of visitors anyway, but like he's been gone from here for who knows how long, and the door's unlocked. It's a little bit, I mean, where you come from, people lock their doors. So clearly not concerned about security. All right. You edge the door open. Oops, that was the wrong button. Yeah, it was kind of the wrong way, wasn't it? Okay. So there is a hallway going directly ahead, and then you can see an archway that opens into a room on the left, but the archway is covered over by some thick curtains that run from the top of the arch all the way to the floor. And the curtains, again, look like they were red previously, but they're kind of dingy, like dusty, dirty, dingy. Okay. And then going a little further down the hallway, you can see a door to the right. The door is closed. And then the hallway dumps out into another larger room at the end. And the lantern, you can see all the way to the end. So you can see a door, you can see the archway, and you can see a bigger room down there. And in the bigger room, you can see what looks to be like a divan, like a couch, narrow couch, covered over by a dingy white cloth. So you're expecting the rooms to basically be dust cloth, like covered over.
I guess I'll go inspect the room a bit. Curtains over.
Okay, so you stop in front of the archway. It's just like three or four steps. So has Iris stepped into the hallway then? Okay, and then is anyone prepared to follow next? Umbar will go next. And so in the hallway right now is only Nick, Iris, and Umbar, and the other. The alarm is on. So.
I can follow, right? Or am I
back? So you're in the doorway. It's up to you.
Are they by themselves, though?
So everyone's in that little mudroom. All three of you, Lotus and Hibiscus, are in the little mudroom. And then the hallway goes from there. Apparently you did turn the alarm off. Smart man.
He's running down there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he just ran down the hallway.
He just ran down the hallway.
So he must have. I wonder if he forgot to turn it off.
Yeah,
he forgot to turn it off. We figured you'd come in through the dock door.
I don't have my key.
Slacker.
I just have. I literally only have my card.
You text me, so,
yeah. So I can.
I'll take some tiny bit for him.
Are you guys following after me?
Okay. So once you go, once everybody goes in, then Umbar's in the middle, and then that leaves Lotus and Hibiscus. So
I go after.
That's a perfect spot for Umbar.
So Hibiscus. Hibiscus is after Umbar. That leaves Anne and Lotus.
I'll go last.
Okay, so Lotus is last, and you're next.
Okay.
And right now you can't even go in yet because they're blocking the way. Unless you want to like cram. It's a narrow hallway. It's like 4 feet wide.
Way, it says I have six candles that I can light a candle. Would it be a waste though?
I mean, not a waste. The lantern shines in one direction, so they're able to see really good. But if you had a candle in the back, that would help. Mind you, you can see in the dark because you're an elf.
Okay.
So remember, you don't have to have light. The light, so you can't read in the dark, even with improvision. So sometimes, like, if you're expecting to be able to need to read something, also, you can't see really good details because the room will be basically like the same temperature, but you can see there's a chair there, but you won't be able to see the exact shape of the chair, things like that.
I have a dagger. I don't have one of those flint things.
Okay, so you're going to light it, though? You want to light it? Okay, she had the flint, so... And also, you have flint. I don't know if you had flint or not, but you do not have flint. So,
actually, I think I did.
Well,
I just lighted off. Okay. Oh, he's already.
He's a little. I mean, you could pass it forward long enough to do it. It would take like 30 seconds. Here, light this real quick. Lights it.
Light off the lamp.
That's fine. All right. So we have a candle in the back. We have a lantern in the front. You step up to the curtains. It looks like they're cobwebbed pretty bad. And you can see some holes that look like maybe insects ate holes. It's like a starts wide, like at the middle, probably like about 18 inches, and then it narrows up to kind of a point away from the middle. But there's like 30, 40 holes, and it's kind of like forms a triangle. Not they're random, they're pretty specific. It wouldn't take much to push one of the curtains aside. Do you have a weapon in hand?
Yeah, I
No. You have a lantern in one hand. Okay, so you have a lantern and a dagger. Okay. Daggers make good indoor weapons because you pretty much always have enough room to use them. Sometimes the bigger weapons become a problem indoors. Okay, so lantern in the left hand, dagger in the right. It's going to kind of like push the curtain aside with your right hand. Okay. So the lantern shines into the room, and you can see that the room goes about 15 feet. On the opposite wall, you can see a countertop, and above that, some cabinets. And then you kind of look to the right a little bit, you see a potbelly stove. Basically, it looks like a kitchen. Are you going to open it the rest of the way in?
Yeah.
Try to go in? Okay. So you push the curtain, and it drops dust and cobwebs, and you notice that some of the cobwebs that are on the top, that are on the top railing come down, and as you push it aside, they're thick. Like string. They have a lot of, like, it's not just a cobweb like you normally see. It's a lot denser than you would expect. You push the curtain aside, and some of them kind of string out, stretch, and then snap as you got a 3-foot wide opening. And then you haven't actually gone in yet. You shine the lantern around the room better, and it's definitely a kitchen. You can see a box, like a bread box or something on the countertop. There's a well spigot, like hand crank, on next to the sink. But then as you look to the left in the room in the corner, you see that the corner of the room is all covered over by about 5-foot wide, 8-foot high webs of spiders. And as you're standing there, some spiders come scurrying out from underneath the webs toward you. Roll for surprise.
6.
Okay, you are not surprised. And so do you say anything? You're the only one that sees the spiders at the moment. They're about this big. Each one is about this big.
I have to let people know, like, hey, watch out.
Okay. All right, so Nick says, watch out, spiders are coming. Okay, and so indeed there are spiders coming, and everyone can roll for initiative. So you roll a d6 and add your dex bonus.
3
If you have in order to have a dex bonus, you'd have to have a dex of at least 16. 16 is plus 1, 17 is plus 2, and 18 is plus 3.
Okay,
17 is plus 2.
I got a 1.
You rolled a 1, and you don't have a dex bonus. Yeah. Flying. Dice are definitely not your friend. Not yet, anyway. Someday, maybe.
I rolled a 1.
Yeah, because the one
rolled,
also. 3 natural 20s.
Right, so everyone has a roll, right? Ones. That's all that matters. Everyone has a roll, okay? And then Umbar is there, and you didn't use any spells while I was running him.
Okay.
So yeah, still have left, whatever you have. The clerics used up all their cure lights, however.
Okay.
So they are out of cure lights, but they rescued the two ladies that had fallen down below. All right. So does anyone have missile fire?
Me.
Okay. So there are spiders coming from the kitchen, and so if you have something that you want to missile fire as they are coming toward you and you have it ready, you could. I don't think Lotus would be able to use the bow because you're still kind of on the porch. In the mud room, I should say. You're in the mud room.
I have hear noise too.
Yeah. So hear noise, the way that works is basically if you just stand quietly and listen, you can detect even the most finite of noises. Like you can hear people's breathing and things like that. But you have to be intentional about it. It doesn't mean you have like super special hearing. It means you're trained to listen for details.
It says I have M-missile.
Magic missile. That's your spell, probably.
Oh. Yes, a spell.
Yeah. And you should have a spell that you picked for the day, I think. Is it one or more? How many spells, first level spells do you get for a day? Do you remember?
First and 2 in parentheses.
Yeah, so you get 2 first level spells. So you should have had 2 spells that you picked for the day. And you hadn't cast any, so you should still have 2 ready.
I have sleep.
Yep. I remember that.
And then shield.
Yep, sleep and shield. Okay. So shield is usable anytime you're in combat. You cast shield and it basically makes your armor class better. It's harder for people to hit you and anybody that's directly behind you. Right? And, but you do have to not get hit while you're trying to cast it.
Okay.
Okay. So does Iris have, you're in the hallway, so do you have missile fire?
Yeah.
What do you use for missile fire?
A short bow.
Okay. So did you have your short bow ready in the hallway? Is that what's in your hand, or? Okay. So I'll assume you had it ready. So whenever you're in the situation, you want to kind of think about what's in your hands. So you know. So we'll assume you had your bow in hand, which means you could fire your bow at the spiders while they are coming at Nick. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Take two shots. Roll. You're going to roll a d20 twice. You want high numbers.
Cool. I got an
18
and a 9.
18
and
9. 18 today. Okay, so 18 will hit, so roll a d6. Do you get any bonuses?
I got a 6.
Okay, so the one pins one of the spiders to the floor, and it's still squirming a little bit, but it's quite obviously dead. Okay? I mean, even if it was dead, it's not going anywhere. It has an arrow stuck through it, pinning it to the floor. Okay? So no one else is in range for missile fire. It's really just Nick or Iris at the moment until the spiders come out of the room. So now we're in melee. Okay?
Do we know how many spiders there are? Or
you,
do I?
You do not. You're not even up to where you can see them yet. So basically there's the mudroom that was like 5x6, mm-hmm. and then Nick went in. Three steps, turn left, curtains, open the curtains, and there's that. Behind him is Iris. The next person through the door was going to be you. You're basically standing in the doorway, but you can't see into the kitchen. So you don't know what's coming. He just said there's spiders coming. That's all you know.
I'm going to have infravision.
Actually, it's not that you can't see because of darkness. Yeah, there's a lantern and a candle. It's because there's a wall and a curtain in the way. Yeah. Okay.
Well, once he announces there's spiders, I'll try to make my way to the, like, not to the front, but more towards the side. Like, I'll enter the room and try to go towards the side of the room.
Yeah. So you're not, the only way into the room is going to be through the spiders. The spiders are coming from the left.
Okay.
So if you don't want to deal with the spiders directly, you're going to have to go, like, get behind him and Iris. That's the only way you can go.
Meet you. Sounds good.
Okay. And because you know who he is, mm-hmm. he's probably going to be pressing forward anyway, so he'll make room for you.
Yeah.
Okay. But he does just have a dagger in hand. He's not, like, wielding his big weaponry. Okay, anyway, so we're now in melee. So melee 9. If you get to the point where your initiative comes up and the people in front of you haven't got out of the way, you just hold until they get out of the way. Okay? So melee 9, 8, 7.
I'm 7.
Okay. So Umbar, you're trying to move behind Iris and Nick is the plan, right?
Yep.
Okay, so they really haven't moved out of the way, per se. You can squeak in behind them, which would necessitate a dex check, or you can just hold for a second until they make more room.
Probably hold for a minute.
Okay, so Umbar's holding from 7, and we're now in initiative 6. Did we roll 6? You roll 6 on initiative? Okay, all right. But you already fired the bow, so he's done for the moment. Anybody else have 6? All right, we got a 5. Nick has 5?
No, I got 1.
Oh, you're the 1, and she has a 1. What did you get?
2.
You guys are low. What did you get?
3.
No,
2 ones, a 2 and a 3?
I rolled 4, but great. I got a plus 3 because of my dex.
That's great. Okay, well, the spider's going 5.
Add that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to get attacked.
Okay, so we have a dex. You rolled a 3 on the dice?
Yeah, my dex okay, and what plus is your, 3.
What is your dex? 18?
Yes.
Yeah, it's plus 3. So you actually got a 6. So you got 6. So we'll go back to 6. Okay. But the people in front of you haven't gotten out of the way anyway, so it's not going to change much.
Okay, so, well, I do anything.
So, you have
so your options are basically, unless you want to try to go around another way or do something else, right? Technically, you could cast sleep into the room. You're not in any danger. Okay. And so you would guarantee not to lose the spell unless one of your party messes with you. And you don't have to be able to see the spiders. You just have to be able to see the room because it's an area of effect.
Okay, I guess I can do that.
Okay, so actually that'll work great. So in 6, you start casting sleep. Then we go to 5. And the spiders actually attacked in 5. The spell's going off in 5. So let's see. The two spiders that are right in front of you probably will still get to attack you before her spell goes off. And they will. So both spiders are going to try to attack Nick. First one missed. Second one missed, so both of them missed you. Okay, so there's like one's on your leg, and the other is like actually chomping at your boot.
So, out of here, because bring on sitting here with 2 hit points.
Yes, you don't want to get bit, right? Okay, the spell. Yeah, speaking of which, you need to see a healer.
As right. Umbar's trying to make his way past, he's going, "Excuse me, pardon, trying to get through."
Okay, so spell goes off, right? So because they're spiders are pretty low hit dice. The way sleep works is the lower the power of the creature, the more of them you can actually get.
Okay.
So there's a chart in the description of the spell, which is what I'm getting out right now, so we'll be sure. If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends. Sleep. Sleep. Okay, so 1 plus 1 to 2 hit dice means you do 2d4. So you got the d4 is the pyramid looking thing.
Okay.
Yep, and you roll that twice. You want to get as high a number as you can.
4.
That's an excellent start.
4.
Wow.
Okay, you know. See, there you go. All right, so what happens is you hear her chant some words of magic briefly, and those of you are in the back see her because she's in...
back.
Yeah. So you don't see her unless you look. And then a spell energy arcs from where you're standing into the room and then triggers. And so kind of a greenish light plays along the floor, and then you hear the sound of magical energy, and all of the spiders that you see stop moving.
Nice.
Okay. Alright. So two things. One, they're all dead. They're all unconscious, so you can just start killing them if you choose to. Stomping them with your boot should be sufficient, or stabbing them with your dagger, that kind of thing, because they're all unconscious. Okay.
Are they poisonous?
They are.
Oh. So if you use the
they
dagger,
look like they are.
Would that be like the residue
on
the
dagger?
Probably not.
Because
it's
they come
mostly their bangs. Yeah. However, so we're dropped out of combat for the moment. Call that a victory. Or is it a victory sound? I'll play the victory sound. You don't get that all that much. So where's the victory sound?
Oh. Oh. You're the only one attacked.
Okay. Anyway, so Nick steps in and starts killing the spiders.
I'm gonna get to one, and I'm gonna pet it on its head and go, "Sorry, buddy," and I'm gonna stab it with my dagger.
Okay. Mixed emotions about killing the spiders. Alright, so you kill them, like, takes like 75 seconds or whatever, just kill them, and he kills one as well. Now you're in the kitchen. Umbar is in the kitchen. Iris is standing in the doorway to the kitchen. Okay, so you haven't actually engaged the spider, you're just standing in the doorway. And then next was who again? Hibiscus?
I thought it
was her. Or Anne?
I was
Anne.
After him.
Okay, so next is Hibiscus. So you're in the hallway behind Iris. Okay? You're in the doorway. And you're still in the mudroom. Oh. You've still not made it into the house. Okay? You stab the spiders, and then all of a sudden you get a really creepy feeling, and you look up toward the webs where the spiders kind of came out of. And you realize that there is a quite a bit larger spider that is now exiting the webs towards you. This one's about 3 foot across. And I'm not going to make anyone roll surprise, because I'm not that mean. But we will roll initiative.
Ooh, and I'm standing here.
Roll initiative.
D6.
Always a D6.
Two.
Oh, that's a D12. D6 is the 10,000 dice. The one that has 6 sides.
Oh.
The regular dice. Yeah,
two. So you do 4 plus 3?
Yep, so you go with 7.
Yeah, so you're, because you have plus 3, you're always going to be fast. Okay. The worst you can get is 4. So, unless you're surprised.
She goes before mine. I'm standing here with a dagger.
She has a 17 dex, right?
So she gets plus 2 armor.
Plus 4.
So it's plus 2.
Oh.
Her armor class is 4 better.
Six,
actually, her armor class is 3
six,
better.
See, I was guiding everybody.
So
with the lantern and the dagger.
Yep. So you add 2 to that dice every time you roll it. Okay? And Anne has the same thing. She has 17 dex as well. Correct? So you add plus 2 to that dice every time you roll it. So it's a general rule, this party's going to move very fast, except for Hibiscus.
Always in
this town, man. Yeah, Nick's not super fast either.
It's not very strong,
but very strong.
You make up your dexterity and your strength.
And he's dense.
I'm just brute strength.
Yes. It did occur to you right after you killed all those little spiders that you definitely should have had, like, Iris look at your wounds so you would have, you know, get them cleaned out and whatever. And now you're facing this big spider, so...
I thought he was attacked.
What is the difference between Mirage and
he community? Wasn't. He didn't get hit in the small spiders, but he still never got healed from the damage on the bridge, on the stairs.
Oh, wow. See, I think that would cure
legs. He didn't, didn't think about it, basically.
Two?
No, I was helping everyone.
Yeah, you cast one, right, so far? So we do have one cure light left, then. Yep.
Could Hannah use hers if she has it now that she's conscious?
She doesn't have it.
Oh.
She are weird check. She has three other spells. She has command and...
You only have two different ones, right?
Yeah.
So you could use it on yourself as well.
But I'm kind of face to face.
But he's the front upfront fighter, so you might be better off to
put him with him.
But also, he hasn't received normal healing yet, which could be a D3, so that could make it better. And then if you have D3 from that and got the cure light, you might be in pretty good shape.
Okay.
But you might also be dead because you're facing a 3-foot diameter spider right now. Okay?
What's the difference between 2D illusion and mirage?
So 2D illusion creates, you can make anything, but it only has a flat surface. Like if you look at it from the side, it completely
disappears. Oh, kind of like the wall I made last time?
Yeah.
When that thing came down and I made the wall. You can make
a person, you can make an animal,
it's just
you make anything, but from the front, it looks real. Normal.
From
the side, it just disappears. It doesn't have a third dimension. It has no depth.
Okay.
Okay. And then Mirage changes the scene of what a room or something looks like. It'll make any kind of imagery.
Okay.
You can make this room look vacant or make it look like snowy or whatever. Mind you, they're pretty weak, so they work good against unintelligent beings, not great against more intelligent beings. Okay, anyway, so we're in missile fire. So my guess is Iris is going to fire her short bow at the giant spider.
But Iris ever gets in here.
Where is Iris?
Okay. So the spider doesn't have missile fire. So are you going to fire your bow again at the big spider?
Yeah.
Okay, roll 2 to hits. D20. Yep, twice.
Got a 14.
That's a hit. Roll again.
A 1.
That's a miss. Okay. That actually could hit somebody in the room, because even though you're not firing toward them, you're firing in their general direction. So first do the 14, roll a d6. Tell us how much damage you did.
4.
Okay, so the arrow sticks into the leg of the spider. It doesn't look like it really did a lot of damage, but it definitely hit him. Okay. The second shot, the one that was poorly aimed, slipped off the string. Okay, so in the room are Umbar and Nick. It's Umbar. Okay, so roll a d6.
I got a 3.
Okay, so you take 2 points of damage. So it basically went through the back of your hair and rung off your skull.
Oh, dang.
So if it had been 3 inches to the right, it would have potentially killed you.
Oh,
yell, watch where you're aiming that thing.
Yep, I think she knew that. Okay. Melee 9, 8.
I'm in 9, sorry.
9, sorry. I'll have to go a little slower for you, apparently.
Yep.
All right. And you can't cast a spell this round because you got hit.
Yep.
By your friend.
So that took away what I was going to do this round.
What were you going to do?
I was going to cast 2D Illusion.
Then you can erase it from your list because you got hit this round. That's the way that works. You have to declare it at the beginning of the round. If you get hit, you lose it.
No.
Now what would you like to do? Run? So, in the room, the lantern's in the room, so you can see clearly, even if you weren't there for vision. There is an archway from this room into the front room, so it is possible to flee without going back through the party to get away from
the That's where I'm going.
Okay, so Umbar turns and runs into the front room.
Coward.
Think mage without any fighter or thief. Without your extra hit points, basically. He's weak, physically speaking. So that's not really his thing. He changes reality. He does not carry stuff or take hits. I was afraid she might kill him or put him in negatives with one shot. That's how bad he can be. What are your maximum points? Six? Oh, that's really good. So, but it still could have put you at zero.
All right.
Yeah, so he runs into the front room. So you'll be in the front room, can turn around and look back this way in four.
Okay. I will draw my dagger, though.
Okay. Just in case you'd have it available for the end of the round, if need be.
Just in case I need it.
All right, so an hour and Neely eight.
Actually, I'll draw the dagger.
Neely seven.
Seven.
Okay, so you're in seven. You're still in the mudroom.
Is there any way I can, run past them?
So you can go past them. It necessitates a dex check by you and the person you're passing to basically not get tangled up. So it's small. You're squeezing through their space. In the hallway in front of you, the hallway's like 4 feet wide. Hibiscus and Anne are looking, obviously, toward the kitchen. So you think you could skirt past the rear of them.
Okay.
And if you go just past them, and then you could aim your bow into the room, probably.
I was going to ask if I could, have that in the shield, because I have it equipped.
You can't wear a shield and use a bow at the same time.
No, this says spells.
Oh. So, yeah, you could cast the shield spell. Like, you could go to that spot and then cast the shield spell. To cast it, your hands have to be empty, so you'd, have to lean your bow against you or against the wall, or just drop it.
Okay.
And then you can pick it back up for the next round if you want
to. Okay. So I can cast it over him? Don't stand by him?
You wouldn't be able to get it in front of him. You'd have to move up, at least be next to him to get it him affected. Otherwise, it's going to come up between you and him.
Okay.
And they're in the way of you to get next to him.
Okay, I'm
going to
cast it, I guess.
Okay, to protect yourself.
Well, aren't they behind me? It
would
protect them?
No. So they're in front of you because you were in the rear. If you move up, you'd have to get literally in amongst them for it to benefit them. You'd have to squeeze in the whole tiny hole that you probably won't fit in. But if you just move past and fire your bow, that's a pretty big, as long as you don't shoot one of your friends, that's a pretty big hole.
Because I always shoot Natalie.
Yeah, there is that.
Well, no, she shoots me.
Yeah, you haven't shot. You haven't shot anybody yet. It should be your turn.
I'll take a stab at my dagger.
Okay.
Just remember, I'm in face to face with these. So.
Yeah, well, you'll probably be unconscious by the time she shoots anyway. She won't shoot you on the floor.
It's a long time, so. What do I roll?
All right, you don't have to roll yet. So right now you're slipping past behind them.
Okay.
And that you started in seven, so in four I'll come back to you.
Okay.
Because you're going behind them, I'm not going to make you roll a dex check.
How big is the opening? Does that spider look like it could fit through the opening that I'm going towards?
Oh, easily. Yeah, it's an archway big enough for two people to walk side by side.
Okay, so
it's a 3 foot diameter spider, so. It's like this big. It's a really big spider.
Okay.
It's not big for a person.
Okay.
It's not as big as a person. All right. So now we're in Mealy 6. Did anybody have a
really big spider for me? That thing's bigger than me.
She fired her Barari, so it's up to you.
That spider's bigger than I am.
What do you have?
So you're standing in the archway.
Do you have an arrow?
Hold on. You're standing in.
How would those? Right here.
I don't think she does because she uses the shield.
She has a sling and mace.
That's right. So you would have the sling. And you can sling while you're holding your shield.
It's
a one-handed weapon. Yes, you can. Ideally, you would have done it in missile fire. So you can do it now. But in the future, remember, slings are faster. They can go in missile fire. So go ahead and take two shots.
Can a handbow be in missile fire?
I don't do that. Hand crossbow.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have?
Twice. We want a high number.
Yeah. So crossbow is fire as well.
Six. Come on, man.
Four. Eight.
Nine.
Doesn't matter. Both are a miss.
Eight.
Okay. So both miss, but neither one has a chance of hitting a friend. Okay, so she throws two sling stones into the room. Sounds more like bow shots. Okay. Anyway.
Do I hear the stones hit anything?
The wall behind.
I'll yell again. Stop aiming things!
Stop aiming things. I just fire, without aiming. No, that's not what I meant. Okay, that was a six. Any other sixes? Alright, so the spider goes in six. You're in position. Did you have missile fire that you wanted to use before the spider goes?
Handbow?
Is it a crossbow?
Yeah.
Yes, you can do that. Roll a d20 to hit.
Crossbows are nice.
Please don't hit me. It's
13.
So that will hit. So roll a d4, the pyramid looking thing.
This one?
Yep. Four. Okay. So she fires her crossbow into the room, and it hits the creature dead center and also seems to do damage. So it's been hit in the leg, it's been hit in the body, but it's still coming at the moment. And we're at 6, and it attacks Nick.
Do I hear it hit the creature?
Yes.
Or at that point, I probably could see it.
Yeah, you can see it, yeah.
Finally, someone that knows how to aim!
Okay, so it slashes at you with one of its front legs, and you see that they have pretty jagged barbs on the front, and it misses you. It kind of like scrapes off your armor. Okay.
You can take it, Nick. You got it.
Yeah.
As I'm kind of
the gnome will be narrating the combats from now on. Kind of like that, actually.
Don't worry, I'm just over here sweating.
That was the sound of the scrape of it off of your armor. Okay, so now we're in 5. The spider does have 2 more attacks, but everybody gets their first attack before it gets the second and third. These guys all did missile fire, so we're only talking about as far as firing your bow when you get in position and your attack. That's all we have left. Okay, so what was your initial 5? Okay, so you're going to pound this thing. Do you want to use the dagger that is in hand?
Yeah, I might as well use the dagger.
I totally agree. Alright, so roll the hit, d20.
Stab him, stab, stab.
Oh, the one with 25, yeah. The big one. Yep.
Aim for the eyes!
No, I think it's an eye.
Okay. Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.